Praise God. And we're being blessed with the word from Minister Joseph Patterson. Minister Patterson, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Hope
praise God.
Well.
Praise the Lord. We are blessed to have you tonight. And, you know, and as God directs you, you let go and let God. And I invite everyone that's on this line that listen in, that God will give you a listening ear to the receptive heart and to believe God. That whatever God has for us, it is for us. So at this time, I'm going to turn this over to Minister Joseph Patterson.
All right. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's truly a privilege and an honor to be on the line tonight. I do appreciate those of you who logged in to hear what the word of the Lord has to say. And we're not going to worry your patience. We're going to get into the word of the Lord. And I know... granted, I do understand that the phone conferences and sometimes the Facebook Lives, often people are busy doing other things, and that's okay. But there is going to be some teaching, a little teaching tonight, so you may have to catch a recap if you're kind of out and about and just kind of got the earplugs plugged in. But we're going to get started. I do give honor to the Spirit of Christ. And again, to each and every one of you who's on the line, we're going to be coming tonight from the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. And we're going to read verses 10 through 19. Very familiar. You've heard these verses plenty of times. And it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful. But ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction." Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessities, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I'm full, having receiving of Epaphroditus the things which were sent for you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And thank the Lord for the reading of the word. Got tripped up on Epaphroditus there. But the word of the Lord, the topic tonight is going to be, I was toiling, didn't know what, I knew what I wanted to talk about, but I didn't quite have a title. As soon as First Lady had asked me, I already knew where I wanted to go with the text, but I had no idea of the title. So actually, it was today. I picked up the calendar often, and I think that Mother Alice makes at our church. I picked up the calendar, and I was reminded of our theme. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And our theme for the year was, "Watch God provide." So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. So bear with me. I know some people, again, like I said earlier, the disclaimer, some of you like to jot things down. Some of you I know are on the move, but that's okay. I do need to lay this setting, though, so that you can clearly understand where we're going and what's surrounding this text. And so when you look at Philippians, the fourth chapter here, just to give you a little bit of background, so Paul, he's writing this letter to the Philippian church. And And actually, right now, this is what they call some of the prison epistles, because Paul is actually, he's locked up. He's actually on house arrest in Rome, and he's actually on house arrest, waiting trial in Rome to see what's going to be the outcome of him preaching the gospel under the rulership of Emperor Nero. So he's writing to the Philippian church. Oh, and just as another just as another little nugget here. So for you Bible scholars on the line, if you can remember, or just regular Bible students, if you can remember, in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, you remember when Paul and Silas, the Bible said Paul and Silas, when they were out preaching in Macedonia at the time, in Philippi, and they had this young girl who was following after them, and she was possessed with the devil, and the Bible said that after a while she kept following behind them, saying all these things, and then Paul cast the spirit out of the girl. This was actually in Philippi, and actually it was there in Philippi where the Philippian church started. So he's writing to these to some of these saints who could have very well been a part of that early church, which was 10 years prior to him writing this letter. Also, you can remember Lydia. Lydia was converted in Philippi around that same time when he was preaching. She was a seller of fine purple, knowing that she had money. So Lydia could have still probably been a part of this church. The jailer that got saved, he was probably still a part of this Philippian church. So that's a little bit of a background of kind of what's going on here. We don't know the name of the jailer, but Lydia definitely had money, because she even had houses in the area that where they would even come and have house church there. So just a little piece there for you. And so what Paul is writing here, this congregation, the Philippian church, has supported Paul's ministry from the time he started that church in Europe 10 years earlier. And they had been supporting him a great deal. And so what happened was they got really concerned, because they had got word from Epaphroditus that Paul was, that he was under like a great deal of stress, and they was very concerned about his well-being. Now, the Philippian church didn't have a whole lot of money. They didn't have a whole lot of resources. Some people did, but they sent Paul a gift. They sent Paul a gift by Epaphroditus because they were concerned. Now, when I told you earlier that he was locked up and he was on house arrest, this is not prison like we look at today, where they said you get three hots and a cot. The in the ancient Roman prison world, when you were locked up, according to the ancient Romans, you didn't get anything. You didn't have food. You had to have all of your basic needs. All of that was solely dependent on upon family and friends and those who could help you meet those needs. So the Philippians got worried. They was like, man, you know, we need to help Paul out. They was concerned about his health. They was concerned about his basic needs. And Paul tells them, but Paul quickly reminds them. He said, I thank you. He said, I appreciate you. I appreciate the money. I appreciate the gifts. He said, I even appreciate you sending me Epaphroditus. He said Epaphroditus got sick, he got ill, we thought he was going to die, but God delivered him, brought him through. He said, I appreciate all of that. He said, I want you to understand something. He said, this ain't my first rodeo. I've actually been through a lot. And he said, I appreciate how you have supported me throughout the years. He let them know that these Philippians are Paul's really close friends. He called them the dearly beloved. So they got a really strong connection to Paul. But he said, I want you to understand something. He said, in all that I've been through, in all of my travels, in all that I've gone through, he said, I have learned. I've learned this. Learned meaning that I've experienced, I got experience with this. He said, I've learned that in whatever state that I'm in, whatever state that I find myself in, I have learned to be content. What are you saying? I'm saying, he said, I know how to be both abased, meaning I don't have nothing. I've been on empty. He said, but I've also learned how to be abound, meaning I've been full. He said, I've learned how to be content in both of those settings. In other words, the financial gifts are fine. Thank you. I didn't even ask for them, but thank you. I did need them. He said, but look, he reminds the Macedonians when he wrote his letter to the Corinthians. He said, listen, he said, I've learned how to maintain. I've learned. That's why he said in the 10th verse, he said, rejoice. This is Paul writing from prison, telling the Philippian believers to rejoice. They're concerned about him. He said, look, y'all rejoice. I've been through a lot. He said, five times I've received 40 slashes minus one of the Jews. This is what he told the Corinthians. And he said, 40 times minus one. In other words, according to the Jewish law, you couldn't whoop a Jew no more than 39 times. If you hit him that 40th time, you would be violating the Old Testament law, the Old Testament covenant. He said, so they beat me five different times, but each time they only beat me 39 times. They wouldn't even hit me 40 the 40th time, just as if to appeal to the Old Testament law. Three times I was beaten with a rod. Once I received a stoning. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night. He said, I spent the night on the open sea. At times I didn't even have clothes. He said, other times I was in dangers with rivers. He didn't even mention that how he was bitten by the viper and how he shook the viper off in the fire. He was endangered by robbers. He was endangered by his own Jews that had turned their back on him. Danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger in the sea, danger amongst the false brethren, had toil, hardship, sleepless nights, hunger and thirst. He said, I was without food. I was cold. I was without clothes. He said that he was beaten one time, left for dead. He said, and now a lot of people will boast in a lot of things. He said, but I'm going to boast in my weakness, because why? In my weakness, I found, and there is where I learned, that how I can depend and lean totally and trust totally on God. Oh, my God. He said, thank you for all of that. But he said, I've been through enough to know that it is only through Christ that I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the strength. What are you saying? What I'm saying is this. What Paul was not telling the Philippians was this. He was not telling them that they were not going to go through trials. He was not telling them that they were not going to see adversity. What he was saying was, when adversity comes, when trials come, God is going to give you the strength not to escape it, but to endure it. And he said, I'm a living witness to that. I appreciate all that you've done for me. I'm eternally grateful. But he reminds them even early on in Philippians. He says, look, for me, to die is to gain. To live is Christ. He said he also left out a part in when he was traveling on his last journey to Rome. There was a prophet that came to Paul by the name of Agabus. He spoke to Paul. He said, Paul, the Spirit of God told me that the man that rides this saddle, they're waiting for him in Jerusalem, and there's going to be pains and afflictions, and they're going to beat him, and he's going to see a horrible time. Paul said, not only, Agabus said, they're going to bound you up. Paul said, not only am I ready to be bound, but he said, I'm also ready to die for the cause of Christ's sake. Paul already knew. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be that being in this Roman prison under the Emperor Nero. Y'all go look him up later and look at how he did the Christians in the early church and how he beheaded them and put their heads on the ladder and lit their heads up as light posts for people to laugh at, and how he turned the tigers and the wild beasts on Christians in the arena and how they laughed at him. Go look him up later on. He didn't know what the punishment was, but he said, it doesn't matter what the outcome's going to be. I know that I'm still going to trust and depend and lean on God, because why? Even if I die, death to me is gain. And if I live, I'm still going to preach the gospel. What are you saying for us today, preacher? What are you saying for us today? What do you mean to watch God provide? He was saying this. He said, if I don't even have the financial means to meet the needs that I've had? He said, I've been without clothes. I've already wore that T-shirt. He said, I've been without food. I've been to a point where I was in despair. He said, but because you gave to me, he said in the 17th verse, he said, you took your material and your physical blessing and you gave that to me. He said, now, when you gave that material and physical blessing to me, God is going to charge that to your account as a spiritual transaction. Oh, my God. You gave to me, and now God is going to count that as a spiritual transaction to your account. He was saying, I didn't even ask for it, but you gave. And because you gave, God is going to supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. What type of riches do God have? And I'm not solely focusing on material wealth, because let me tell you something. A lot of people will focus on the material, and as long as God gives the material blessing, as long as they have their basic needs, needs met, they can rejoice. But Paul is saying, no. Learn how to rejoice even when it doesn't seem like your needs are going to be met. Because why? Eventually, God will supply those needs. God will make a way out of nowhere if you learn to depend and lean and trust totally on him. I know that I can get about 5 people on this line tonight to know that in the midst of 2020, although it seemed like there was a lot of adversity, I know some people may have lost their job. Some people looked like they didn't even know how to make ends meet. Some people looked around and said, what are ends? Some people, you know, they had to cry themselves to sleep. Some people were put out of their homes. Some people were put out of their cars, didn't have a car to get to and from where they needed to be. But Paul tells them, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, because why? When you learn to rejoice in the Lord despite of what you're going through, it gives you a sense of peace, he tells them. He said it gives you a peace, the peace that God leaves with you. And how does he tell them to get that peace? He tells them in the preceding verses, in the early part of chapter 4, he tells them to stand firm. To stand firm and trust and lean and depend on God. He also tells them, there were 2 women in the Philippian church early in the 4th chapter. They couldn't get along. Paul said, get along. Learn to get along with each other. Put away your strife and come together. He told them to rejoice, to give thanks, be patient, be gentle. The Lord is soon to return. He said, put all this foolishness aside. Don't worry. Worry will take a hold over your life. Worry will give you anxiety. Worry will cause you to be sorrowful. He said, learn to pray. He said, get the peace of God. Watch this. So that your hearts and your minds can be kept through Christ Jesus. How did he tell them to keep their hearts and their minds? He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, to think on these things. Because why? If you got the right mindset, if you got the right mind, then you can have the right praise. Praise in the midst of pressure. Praise in the midst of turmoil. Praise in the midst of adversity. Because why? That is the praise that will get you out with the victory. Not that God will take it away, but he'll bring you through with the victory. Oh, glory to the name of Jesus. Oh, my God. Paul was reminding them. He had to encourage the Philippian church, because why? They, at the same time that Paul was in prison, the Philippian church was going through their own struggles and trouble. Paul had established that church 10 years ago. They were sitting there, and they were going through their own troubles. At one point, Paul highlights how they had outside political pressure that was coming up against the Philippian church. There was the second thing that they had going on was the false prophets was on the rise. The false prophets was trying to sneak in and take over the body of Christ. Paul said, I'm going to go away. He said, then ravenous wolves are going to come to attack the sheep, to attack the people of God. And then they didn't have unity. Now, mind you, this was 2,000 years ago. We can look at 2,000 years today, and we can see that we got outside political pressure. We got false prophets that are in and outside of the church. And we got disunity where people can't get along. My daddy said can't get along in a pie factory, even if you gave them free pie. And I'm talking about fellow believers in the body of Christ, and we can't even get along. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. He tells them 16 times in the book of Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. And I believe that in my last moments of closing, I believe that if we just take Paul's advice right there, in the 16th verse, in the fourth chapter, he remembers Thessalonica. What he didn't tell you there was in Thessalonica, in the Acts, the 17th chapter, it said that these Jews, they were called lewd fellows of the baser sort. They went and they dragged people that had housed Paul. They had dragged them out in the streets and beat them and tried to beat them to a pulp because they was housing Paul. Later on, when Paul went through Rome, there were these men that said, "We are not going to eat. And we're not going to sleep. We're going to make a vow until Paul is dead. We are going to sought after him." But God is telling us today to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul said, no matter what state I find myself in, I don't have to wait till the next stimulus before I can give God the praise. Rejoice in the Lord. I don't have to wait between income tax season. I can still rejoice in the Lord. Because why? God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Watch God provide. Oh, give God a praise tonight. We're going to look to the Lord in prayer. I don't know about you, but God has been truly providing in my life in the last year alone. And I'm still depending and leaning and trusting in the name of the Lord. But we're going to look to the Lord in prayer as our time is winding down. We are going to lift those names up in prayer tonight. We're going to remember Texas and all that is going on over there. We still believe that God can provide. I told you, I know outside of me, I believe I got five people on this line that say God has provided. Glory to the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you all the glory, the honor, the praise for the word of God. Lord, as we've heard and how Paul had went through all of the things that he's gone through, he still had the joy of the Lord burning on the inside, God. He still encouraged the people of God to rejoice in the Lord always. And right now, God, we are praying for those that are in Texas, Lord. You see that situation, God. We know that it's a natural disaster. Some things that we know that cannot even be avoided, but God, we know that you are still able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. We believe that you still is a God that is making ways out of no ways and performing miracles, God. Lord, right now we pray even for Kiana Bolden, God. We saw the post, and we're believing you, God, for whatever the situation is. Now we pray that you just intervene. We're still lifting up Barbara Smith and the Reeds, God, Rocky and Terry, Miss Booker, God. We're lifting her up. In the name of Jesus, the Coopers, God, we're still calling those names out to you. George Bolden and the Taylors, God, Bishop and First Lady Taylor. We're just lifting all of them up to you, God. We're lifting up the PBC family. We're lifting up the pastors, the ministers, the preachers, the teachers, God, all over the land that are crying loud and spare not. Lord, if there ever was a time that we needed you, God, that time is now. Lord, if there ever was a time to call out and to cry out unto you, God, that time is now. If there ever been a time to rejoice, God, that time is now, God. Because, God, we don't know what tomorrow holds, God. We don't know what next year holds, God. But even in the midst of it all, God, we know that you are able. In the midst of it all, God, we still know that you can provide, God. Not only that you can provide, but God, you have provided already, God. You've made ways for us, God, and we are eternally grateful. We're not going to wait to see the outcome, God. We don't have to wait, God. We're going to give you the praise right now, Lord. We come with expectation, God. We know because your word said you are perfecting those things that are concerning us, God. We thank you, God, that even in the midst of the pandemic, God, not one time, God, your word said have your seed begging bread. We didn't have to go without food, God. We didn't have to go without a home, God. We thank you, Lord God. We testify to that tonight, God. We are grateful for your word, God. We need to learn sometime, God, how to go through our home and go on a thank you fit, God. To thank you, God, because you've been so good to us, God. You made ways and you opened doors, God. And we have a right to give you the praise, God. We owe you the praise, Lord God. You made ways, God, even with our vehicles, Lord God. Oh, God, and I'm not just talking about me personally. I'm talking about us collectively on the line, God. You've opened up doors for our life, God, and we are grateful tonight, Lord God. Oh, God, you even helped those that even got COVID and made it through, God, and they still live to be on the other side to testify about it, God. And even those that are still struggling with it, God, we pray that your healing hand, God, that your virtue would still, God, touch those lives in the name of Jesus. We're watching, God. We're not only watching you provide, God, but we've already seen you provide, God. And now we're waiting on you to provide, God. And even if you don't provide on our timeline, God, we've learned how to be abased, God. We've learned how to abound, God. We know how to be with God, and we know how to be without God. So that's why we will bless the Lord at all times. And your praise shall continually be in our mouth, oh God. Oh, Lord, we lift up your name, God. Your word said, lift up your heads, oh ye gates, and even lift him up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift him up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Oh, glory to the name of Jesus. We bless your name tonight, Father. We give you glory tonight on this line, Lord God. Oh, God, we boast, God, in our weakness, because, God, it is in our weakness that we're made strong, God. Oh, God, you said don't think more highly of ourselves than we are, God, lest we fall. Well, God, keep us near your cross. God, keep us flat-footed in your word. God, keep us humbly before you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, use us to your will and to your glory, Lord God. Oh, bring us, God. We're not worried about the pandemic and its impact on the church, because, God, the true church is still going to give you the praise, God. The true church, God, is still lifting up our heads into the hills from which cometh our help. Oh, thank you, Jesus, and we know that all of our help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah,
praise God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Everybody on this
Glory
line, come on,
Lord.
Let's praise God.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise
Hallelujah.
God. We thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
Lord,
amen.
Lord,
God, we praise
you. Thank you.
We glorify your name. Amen. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, God.
Thank
we thank you, God.
You
are a mighty God. Hallelujah. God, we
Hallelujah.
Praise you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
You,
God, we praise
Lord.
You. Hallelujah.
You,
we can't praise
thank
you enough,
thank
God. You keep
thank
on
you,
doing
thank
great
you.
Things
thank
for
you,
us,
Jesus.
God.
Yes,
glory
God.
To your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
glory,
yeah.
glory,
thank
glory,
you,
glory
Jesus.
To
thank
God.
You.
Amen.
Thank
praise
thank
God.
You.
We thank God.
You,
praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Minister Patterson, for such an awesome, awesome word of God tonight. Glory
Amen.
To God, letting us know
Amen.
That God still provides, and he will provide, and
Amen.
He's already
Amen.
Provided. Glory
Amen.
To God. He's yet
Amen.
Doing great things for us. I'm sure
yes.
everybody on this
Thank
line
Lord,
could
yes.
testify about what the Lord has done for them.
Glory
Even through
Amen.
This pandemic, God
Amen.
Has always provided roof over
yes.
our head, food to eat.
Yes.
Even those that have gone through and have had this COVID. But God is a deliverer. Glory
yes,
to God. And we praise God.
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
he is. We praise him for the word. We praise him for the man of God. Minister Patterson, thank you for coming on the line tonight. Thank you for giving us a powerful, powerful word of God. And I begin to hear you say about how we rejoice in the Lord. And again, God says, rejoice in you. Hallelujah. The God of peace will give us the strength to go through. And you know, people of God, what I like about it, the Word of God says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he brought Paul out and brought Paul through all the things that he's been through, how much more if God is still, he's still on the throne and he's still a delivering God. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
So I just praise God. Thank you again, Minister Patterson, for being on the line and ministering to us the Word of God tonight. We receive that Word. And we just pray that God's blessings continually be upon you and your family. Continue to go forth strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we continue to pray for everybody on this line and continue to say, look up. All our you know, we all our help comes from the Lord. And we just praise God for you that is on this line tonight. May God bless you, bless your family, bless you to be stronger in the Lord and go forth in his power. So again, I want to say to you all, be blessed tonight. And I speak the blessings of the Lord upon you, that you are continue to rise up and be elevated in God. And as a pastor, as Minister Patterson said on tonight, that we will stand firm on the Word of God and that we will continue to rejoice in the Lord. So until next week, I pray that you continue to be blessed, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Continue to look up because that's where our help comes from. So I'm praying that you all continue to be blessed. We look forward to you all come back again next week and for another mighty Word of God. Be blessed. I love you. Pastor Bowler loves you. And God loves you more. Praise God.
Amen.
Good night.
We love you.
Amen.
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 Good night. Thank you.